Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel reading that we just heard read from the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We've heard the Christmas story many times over again. The words are very familiar. As they begin, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus," and then, of course, we probably know the rest of it very well, maybe even by memory. That story comes from the Gospel of Luke. But this story before us today is different from that, because it is really not the Christmas story. It is the Epiphany story. And you know what Epiphany means. It's when something occurs to you that maybe you didn't really quite understand very well before. It's like a revelation. Something pops into your head and you realize, oh, that's the way it is. It's something like we heard in the second lesson for today, where Paul talks about a mystery that was hidden for ages. And in this case, the mystery is this, that Jesus came into the world not for one kind of people, but for all kinds of people, for everyone. And that is the vitally important thing that is revealed from this story of the wise men from the east who come looking for whom the one they call the King of the Jews. There's nothing at all in this story about Joseph and Mary traveling to Bethlehem. Nothing about looking, nothing, no room for them in the inn, nothing about the shepherds and the angelic announcement to them, and nothing about a baby in a manger. The baby Jesus is obviously here, but he is not in a manger. He is in a house, someplace in somewhere in Bethlehem. And it probably did not happen right at the time of his birth either, but sometime after that. But it is an epiphany to us and to the world, and we can call it something like this, that outsiders become insiders. Now, little is known about these men who embarked on their long and probably hazardous journey. They're not mentioned anywhere else specifically in Scripture. Mysteriously, they come from the east, it is said, probably from someplace in Persia. They are identified in the text as magi. Now, that's a technical word from which we get our English word magic, or magicians. It doesn't mean that they believed in magic necessarily, but they were something of a priestly caste of the Medes and the Persians, and they were highly respected for their learning and in particular for their knowledge about the movement of the heavenly bodies. We don't even know for sure how many there were. It doesn't say. It mentions three gifts, of course, but that does not necessarily mean that there were three men. It could have been more or less than that. The text doesn't actually say. And it seems that somehow they had some prior knowledge of this one who was promised to the Jews as a king or a Messiah who would deliver his people from bondage. We don't know how they knew that. It might have come from the 70-year exile of the Jews, or perhaps from some Jews who were still living there in the East at that time. But we do know this. They were not Jews. They were not part of the chosen people of God to whom the promises had been made. And we know that they were on a journey, and they were seeking something about which they possibly were not entirely clear. In other words, they were outsiders. They were seekers who were following the sign that God had given to them. They were seeking one to worship, one who would bring meaning to their quest, indeed purpose for their lives, someone worthy of their very best, as their gifts indicated. And whether we know it or not, we too are on a journey, because life is a journey. We are traveling through time, and we have marked that time with our humanly devised calendar as we have entered into a new year. And it is always a reminder of the passing of time, which moves at its relentless pace, never stopping, never moving faster, never moving more slowly. It just keeps moving, always moving. And we are moving with it, whether we realize it or not. But as we are moving and in our journey to life, we need to ask, What are we really looking for in this life? The question comes to you and me. What or whom are you seeking? Lots of people in the world could be described as seekers, something like the wise men from the East, because they are honestly and sincerely looking for something important, something valuable, something to give their lives meaning and hope, something that will last, something worth living for and indeed worth dying for. Philosophers have speculated about that for centuries. And the reality is that we too have come into this world as outsiders. We are born outside of the knowledge of God, outside of the family of the faithful, outside of that place that Jesus once described as his sheep pen, the enclosure of his grace and eternal security, because we are born in sin and separation from God. It is as Paul described it to the Ephesians, you were without God and without hope in the world. And so often, so many then will settle for something less than God in their search. It might be financial success, acceptance and approval of other people, prominence, position, power, maybe just a life of fun, and that to them is the end of their journey. But all of that will leave us as outsiders. None of it. In fact, nothing we can do on our own will ever bring us inside of the security and meaning that only God can give. The wise men reach the end of their journey with a little detour along the way to the court of King Herod. But with God's leading, they came to Jesus. And apparently by revelation, they recognized him for who and what he was, for they worshiped him. And their gifts to him were the very best they could offer. Gold, fit for a king. Frankincense, used for the worship of God. And myrrh, an ointment reserved especially for burial rites, for he would give his life for them and for all. They were not Jews, but they found a place beside the Christ child, and his embrace reached out to them. And that means it reaches out to everyone, even to you and me, outsiders, but now through faith in him, brought inside his forgiving grace and love. Where is God leading in the year ahead? Where is he leading in your life now? And tomorrow, and in all of your tomorrows. We may not always know from day to day, but through the guiding star of his word and of his living word, made flesh for us and for all in the person of the Son of God, the Savior of the world, we know the ultimate goal, the ultimate assurance, the ultimate promise, life with God here and forever. God has come in Jesus to reconcile the world to himself. And that means you and me. Born outsiders, we are made insiders. Not by our seeking, but by his finding. It is always God who leads. We are but to follow. And he will never mislead or misdirect. We may not always understand what is happening in the journey of our lives, and we may often be confused, bewildered, disappointed, and grieved. But that's because our journey is taking us through a broken world and a broken existence. But his grace prevails in Jesus. His forgiving and restoring love assures us in the cross and resurrection of Jesus that all is well. God is leading. That is the great epiphany for us and for all. The end of every search in life is found at the feet of Jesus, and no one or nothing else is worth the search. No one or nothing else will give us purpose, hope, meaning, eternal assurance. But there's also another important and vital epiphany here, and the one that results from the first one. That because we, as outsiders, are made insiders, we want to break down some barriers, some walls of division, some hindrances of fellowship. These men were most likely of a foreign race, culture, and background to the Jews. They were different, very different, but they were included. Jesus had come for them. He came to shatter walls of division, to give the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, to make all people one in Him. How then will we reach out to those who do not know Him? How will we strive to bring in others who may be very different from us? I always remember a comment that someone once made to me when we were talking about a group of new members. This person said, "Are they our kind of people?" With the implication that if they weren't, they don't belong. Well, what are our kind of people? All kinds of people. Did Jesus come for one kind? The wise men say, no. He came for us. He came for all. He came to include all kinds of people into His family of grace. Because if He came for me, He came for everyone. It may come as a surprise to some, but we are here as God's church to reach out to those who do not know Him, for the outsiders, to bring them inside. But even in an even more personal way, we might ask, just how is it that you and I are going to work at breaking down any barriers that may exist between us and certain others in our lives? What effort will we put forward towards reconciliation? What hostilities will we work at removing? What person or persons will we personally invite to come with us to worship Him who brought eternal life and light into our darkness, to bring the only true direction and hope in the journey of life? The wise men speak to us today. We, the outsiders, have been brought inside of God's forgiving love in Jesus. Following God's leading in the journey of your life by following Jesus, who is the light of the world. Through Him, no one will ever walk in darkness, but will always have the light of life. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.